Today's program has been brought to you by S. Wallace Edwards & Sons, third-generation cure masters producing the country's best dry-cured and aged hams, bacon, and sausage. For more information, visit SurreyFarms.com. Broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Morning After.
Ladies and gentlemen,
we are
standing in for Jason Colucci this week, who is on a brief hiatus from the show.
At an unknown location. We do not know where he is.
We definitely do not know, nor does the government.
Rumor has it he may call in later if he's not inundated somewhere else. So
fingers crossed. In the interim, we are your faithful guest hosts. I am with the lovely Pam Stubbs.
And I'm with the lovely and multi-talented Jen Tulloch.
It's lovely to be here. We have some pretty exciting guests on the show today.
We do.
I'm pumped about.
I am too. So we have Anne Saxelby of Saxelby Cheeses. And
And we have the lovely Mary Zairuzny of Public Restaurant, also a dear friend of mine. So we're going to talk about wine and cheese, which seems appropriate.
Perfect combination, I think.
Perfect combination.
Especially for a Sunday morning.
Stubbs and Tulloch, wine and cheese. Let's get started early, you know?
Why not? It's not early. It's 3 o'clock.
You know, it's been a slow summer. I've been doing a little more drinking than I typically do.
Me too.
We were talking about this earlier, right, Pam? Because
exactly.
I feel like industry-wise, it's been a little sleepy. It's been a sleepy summer.
It's been sleepy. There's not much to report. There's not much industry news going on. Everyone's on vacation, as they should be. We all work hard through the rest of the year.
Yep.
August should be our time off, I think.
I work in the West Village, and I would say 90% of our patronage are still in the Hamptons.
Or Fire Island at that
yes.
point.
So I've been playing a lot of solitaire on my phone while at work. Looking forward to a fruitful fall.
Yes, I think fall is going to be very fruitful. We'll start hearing about new openings. But for now, August should just be a time for us to all hang out with each other.
Uh-huh. Go to yoga.
Exactly.
Drink some wine. In Jason Colucci's case,
hiatus.
Go on hiatus.
Exactly.
You know, if Colucci goes on hiatus and leaves a building, then nothing's going on.
Exactly. So we hope he's enjoying himself and relaxing. We love you, Jason.
Phone home.
You. Yeah, exactly.
Now, Pam, have you seen these videos that are circulating the internet about these actors reading the Yelp reviews?
No, I haven't, but please, we should definitely talk about that, because Yelp is kind of a funny thing in the industry.
Isn't it?
It is.
I feel like every actor/server friend of mine is shaking their fist at this guy right now that they did not come up with this idea first. But there were a couple of actors of notable work. I think there was a guy and a girl that started it. They work, I think, on Blue Bloods and maybe one of the Law and Orders. And they just got together and shot on a little camera themselves in very dramatic actor talk reading bad Yelp reviews to some classical music. And it went viral, and everyone's been talking about it, and it's been on a couple of TV shows. And I thought, you know, we're into playful fun at The Morning After. Why not give it a go ourselves?
We should. I think you're the perfect person.
Now, as happy as I am to be here, I didn't feel like I was actually qualified to do this myself.
So did you bring us a special guest?
I brought us the voice of a special guest. I would like to provide this next segment in the voice of Dame Joan Plowright, the Baroness Olivier. So if I may, I've brought up two special Yelp reviews I'd like to share with you all.
Chris H. writes, I'm a pretty happy-go-lucky dude. I see the glass as half full. I make lemonade when life hands me lemons, and I try to see the silver lining in crappy restaurants. Therefore, before I begin my rant, I shall admit that this restaurant space is beautiful, and through no fault of their own, they have amassed a cauldron of hip and well-heeled diners. Now I will begin. A pork chop, $24. Overcooked and bullied to the consistency of shoe leather, was tossed with mealy Brussels sprouts and drizzled with a murky and overwhelmingly salty soy caramel glass. My dining companion suffered through depressingly boring roast chicken. He packed up when roast carrots, lovingly tender and sweet, arrived. They reminded him of home cooking, while the chicken reminded him of a chain restaurant. At some point in the meal, the wait inappropriately diminished. Our main course is piled up as we struggle to finish our appetizers, and at the end of the meal, the waiter brusquely dropped the check while we were in the midst of a bottle of wine. We took this as a sign that our waiter kindly wanted us to fuck off. So we did, with no intent to return.
And for our second review, thank you. Thank you, Joan. I have one more. I'd like to end on a positive note. So this is for another restaurant, which shall remain nameless, to protect the innocent, or in this case, guilty.
Marina Kay writes, "Shut the front door. This place blew me away. The atmosphere is beautiful. Floor-to-ceiling windows with a cottage-esque, cozy and/or garden speakeasy feel. And the food is simply incredible. It's on my very short list of places to visit again and again and again. I had dinner here over the summer and have since come back several times for cocktails. I believe their menu changes seasonally. Over the summer, they featured a spicy strawberry gazpacho soup that blew my mind. Spicy, sweet, savory, what the wah. Their raw oysters were also very good. They had a selection of both East and West Coast varieties, which was interesting for me as an oyster newbie, since I was able to try both and observe the discrepancies. This place is perfect for almost any occasion. Taking your parents, meeting someone else's parents, a forever alone dinner. Take a date here if you want to impress the person with nonchalant coolness. You go to places like this all the time. You get this. Also, cute waiter with the Irish accent. Call me. Thank you."
Thank you for those lovely, lovely dramatic readings.
Thank you, Dame Joan Plowright.
I think we all have a completely new idea of Yelp.
Oh my goodness.
There's a whole lot of applause
for six
you.
People
wow.
in studio. We really made a lot of noise.
Awesome. So I think now we are actually going to move and take a break. And when we come back, we're going to interview Anne Saxelby.
Awesome.
You're listening to AM by Shadowbox.
The following program was sponsored by S. Wallace Edwards and Sons. Summertime is not the only time when barbecue is welcome. At S. Wallace Edwards & Sons, Sam Edwards has been working his magic on ribs, briskets, pit-cooked pulled pork, and much, much more. Add a few of their sides and the party is complete. Entertaining has never been so easy. To order, go to virginiatraditions.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Morning After.
We are
Sans
back.
Jason Colucci this weekend.
Love you, Jason.
We miss you. Please come home soon. Anyway, so our first interview in the studio today is with Anne Saxelby of Saxelby. Jason,
woo-hoo!
Say hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
I will not welcome her to the studio because this is a very familiar place for her. So,
and her second time in the studio
exactly,
today.
So she's probably like, get me out of here.
No way. It's good. Being at Roberta's all day on Sunday, I can think of a lot
yeah,
of worse things
exactly,
to do.
Exactly, I agree.
Yeah.
So let's kind of start off with just the, of course, everyone wants to know, how did you get into cheese? What I know you're an NYU student.
Yes.
Art studio art
studio
major?
Art, yes. I was a wayward art student. I kind of had, you know, done, made a lot of, you know, work in school, had interned at different galleries, museums, etc. And I just felt like, man, with every experience, I was like, these are not my people, you know? I was like, I can't.
So much more depressing than I thought it would be now.
I can't picture myself working here, you know, for the rest of my life in the mm-hmm. art world as, you know, on sort of the gallery museum side of things. And then the thought of being an artist was kind of even worse in some ways, because I was like, oh my God, I'll spend 8 hours a day in a studio alone thinking thoughts that are important to me, and then trying to convince other people that they should spend money on those thoughts. Like, it's just not going to happen. No. And so I always loved food, especially cheese and wine. And, and so I just thought I'd throw myself in and see what I could learn. And, I spent a summer working at Murray's Cheese in the West Village. They were very reluctant to hire me at first because, you know, I had zero experience.
Cheese retail experience.
Right. Did you just walk in off the street with a resume in hand and say, let me sell your cheese?
Yeah. I went back like 5 times. Like, they really were not interested. And finally, this woman, Amy Sisti, who was the manager at the time, you know, relented and gave me a chance. She asked me a question, actually, which I'm still like, oh, my God, I can't believe I answered that way. She asked me about a simple cheese and wine pairing. And she was like, if you were going to pair the cheese Piave with like a wine, what would you pick? And I mean, I didn't know Piave and I didn't know wine that well either. So I just told her Sauvignon Blanc. And that would be like the worst pairing of all time, because Piave is kind of like Parmesan. You know, it's like really rich and like sweet cheese, and Sauvignon Blanc would just totally not go with that. But I guess she was just like, well, she said it with authority, you know. Maybe she could BS her way through the first part at least.
Awesome. And then, so how did that get to the next step, which obviously, not to skip many years of your life possibly, but
yeah,
to the
no.
next step of like, I want to open my own place and I want to, you know, bring in my own cheeses and...
Yeah. Well, I would say like a formative experience was working at Cato Corner Farm. After that summer at Murray's, I spent 5 months living on this farm in Connecticut. And for me, that was where the art and the cheese really kind of came together, because making cheese is a lot like being in a painting studio. You spend 8 hours there or more, and you're doing kind of very kind of tedious, meticulous, repetitive things. But at the end of it, you get this thing that is edible and delicious, and that everyone can judge for themselves whether or not they like it. And that was one of the things about the art world that always bugged me. Mm-hmm. I felt like so much contemporary art was like good in quotation marks, but everyone would just look at it and be like, it's a pile of masking tape on the floor. Like, why? Why is it good? And with cheese, you know, it's very obvious.
It's objective.
Exactly.
And it's, you came from
tangible,
really-
and you can just grab it and take it home and enjoy it.
And it's so much more fulfilling to share that with somebody, I feel like, than share your pile of masking tape that you thought about for, you know, months and then...
Not to say that a pile of masking tape can't be an effective...
It can be a thing of beauty. Right. Yeah.
So how did you... I'm interested. So you were working at Cato Corner.
Yeah.
Is it Cato or Cato's?
Cato.
I've sold their cheese before our restaurant company, and I'm glad that you cleared that up for me.
Yeah.
So how long were you working with them?
I was there for about 5 months.
Okay.
It was kind of like just the fall. Then I went back to Murray's for another year and a half or so. But it was, you know, I always knew I wanted to have my own business. And so over the years, it kind of got narrowed down from being, you know, some sort of a shop where I would tie together all my interests of art and wine and cheese and charcuterie and bread. And over the years, you know, I just kept kind of honing it down until finally I took a trip to France and I worked on some different goat dairies there and went around to visit some shops in Paris. And I was like, my favorite shop was this little tiny place called Laurent Dubois. Mm-hmm. And all they sold was cheese and dairy. And it was like this little jewel box of a cheese shop. And I was like, you know what? That's it. Cheese is what I'm good at. Cheese is what I know about. Why would I try to dilute myself by, you know, focusing on all these other things when I could just really put my heart into, you know, the thing that I really love?
So then we moved to the Essex Street Market, right?
Yes.
So how'd you end up there instead of like deciding to kind of open your own storefront, or why was that the first stop?
Yeah, the Essex Market was the first stop because, you know, so I, you know, sort of wrote a business plan and I was trying to figure out where I'd want to open. And opening a business in New York is really, really tough and really, really expensive. And I started looking at, you know, storefronts and I was like, oh my God, this is crazy. And just, you know, the rent alone plus what the build out would be for somebody who is, I was 25 when I opened the store and I was just like, that's impossible. And so I was, you know, dealing with that. And then at the same time, my friend Robert LaValva, who runs the New Amsterdam Market now, suggested Essex to me. And I used to live in the neighborhood and would shop there. And I was like, you know what? It's kind of crazy, but But yeah, it's like a little tiny space. I can build it out for, you know, for pretty cheap, and then I can just kind of see how it goes. So yeah, just kind of like the small space, you know, the price is right. Let's just see if I can make it work.
Completely makes sense. And it's a great little cheese market in that area. Yes, I love it. So,
yeah,
so now I know you're doing some wholesale business with restaurants.
Yes.
I believe Blue Hillstone Barns, the Dutch are some things that you're working on right now. So when you go into a restaurant and, you know, you're selling your cheeses to the restaurant, are you also providing any kind of training for the staff so they know, like, you yourself, are you doing any training with the staff of these restaurants? Or
yeah, that's really important to me. I wish I could do more of it, actually. It's funny, at this stage in the business, I'm kind of still splitting my time between a lot of different things. Mm-hmm. But definitely when we are working with restaurants, training means a lot. I feel like cheese is one of those things that for servers can be really intimidating and annoying, because you're kind of like, oh my God, the cheese, it changes all the time. Like, keeping track of it all.
I feel it's
wine
as complicated
does it go with?
As wine. Like, it's absolutely equally as complicated as wine to me, as far as trying to understand and learn. And there's so many different kinds. And
if not more so, because you don't even have, I think, the same things to rely on, like the same basics.
True.
For me as a server coming in, like, you have to know more about wine. I wasn't questioned on my knowledge of cheese to get a service job, where I was my knowledge of wine. I absolutely agree with you. I think that's great.
Yeah, and so part of it is, like, you know, talking about the cheeses and the farms that we carry, and then the other part of it is just talking about cheese 101. You know, how is cheese made? Why are there the different styles? And I feel like since I've made cheese before, that's something that I feel really comfortable talking about, and something that I feel like I can talk about in a way that's not intimidating to people, and that and it's fun for me to do. So I always try to, after we've had a tasting with the chefs and set up, you know, a cheese program, then go back and try to do as much, you know, educating as possible.
That's fantastic.
And I know one of the other things you're doing right now is you are the sole cheese purveyor for Daniel Boulud's Apicerie. If I'm saying that, I'm sorry if I'm saying that incorrectly.
Yeah. Everybody. No,
but,
that was good.
I want to know, what was that like for him to approach you? And I mean, because obviously he is a giant name in the restaurant industry, not just in New York, but all over the place. And that, to me, that must have been a very cool thing to be like, oh.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. Yeah. We were like, what?
Really?
Uh-huh. Yeah, it was a really cool thing. They you know, were planning the Epicerie, and one of the guys who works closely with Danielle is actually a big fan of the cheese shop, and I think he kind of helped to, like, you know, broker the deal, because they were thinking about things that they would want to have at the Epicerie that would be special and sort of different and unique. And so we kind of talked about how we might work together, and ended up putting together a selection of both American and French cheeses for them, because Danielle, being a French chef, you know, you're not going to sell them on an all-American cheese
And you were
program.
Doing mostly American cheeses before.
I was doing all American cheeses before. And now for wholesale, we offer our American stuff, and then we also have a line of French cheeses from the Affineur Hervé-Mons, who was kind of my mentor before I opened the store. He's the one who set me up with all my internships in France, and is a really great guy. So we work with him to bring in some really excellent French cheeses and do both.
Great. So tell me, I'm just going to throw that. Tell me a cheese that you're really excited about right now.
Oh, man.
Put you on the spot for a second.
Put me on the spot. Well, a cheese I'm really excited about right now, and I actually think there's going to be a little article in the Times this Wednesday.
Great.
Is mozzarella curd from Caputo Brothers Creamery.
Mm.
They are located in Pennsylvania. And they're kind of an amazing story because, I mean, everyone's had mozzarella before. I think it's like the most consumed cheese in the country now. But their mozzarella is unlike any other mozzarella out there. And long story short, you know, most mozzarella curd is made by taking milk and coagulating it with either vinegar or citric acid. And most cheese is coagulated over the course of, you know, many hours with the addition of culture to the milk, which is, you know, bacteria that eats the lactose and turns it into lactic acid, and then an agent called rennet, which is an enzyme that coagulates the milk. So their curd is made in the traditional way with culture and rennet. And Rin, the cheesemaker, always likes to make the comparison that curd, as everybody knows it, mozzarella curd, with that vinegar, citric acid, you know, make process would be like taking grape juice and adding vinegar to it and calling it wine. So the depth of flavor in this curd is amazing. And you can make mozzarella, stracciatella, burrata, any of those fresh Italian-style cheeses with it. And so it's being used now in a lot of restaurants, and we're really pushing to get it out there. And I feel like for the summertime, it's
sounds
just
perfect
the
for
most
summertime, yeah.
fabulous thing out there.
So what's next for you? What's the plan? You're doing a lot. Not that I'm pushing you to do. You need to do more, Anne. Yeah. You're not doing enough.
No, I feel like in any business, you have to keep...
Yeah, what's the plan? I know you're doing... You have a radio show here on Mondays, I believe.
Mondays,
yep. So called Cutting the Curd.
Yeah.
So you should definitely... Everyone listening to us should check that out on Mondays and hear all this interesting...
Cutting the mozzarella curd.
Yeah. Exactly. But what's next? What's on the forefront? If you can tell us, and if there's nothing secret out there.
Oh,
but.
No. Yeah, no secrets. We're just... Right now, you know, we're really focused on trying to keep growing the wholesale business. We just moved into our little cheese cave, in quotation marks, it'll be 2 years this winter. And so we really want to keep that going, make that better, do a little bit more aging of cheese there ourselves. And then in the next couple of years, we'd love to open another store.
So you actually want to do maybe a whole storefront as opposed to just... keeping it in the Essex market instead.
Yeah, I think we'll always keep our place in the Essex market because
it's the first.
It's the first. Yeah. It's our community. You know, we really love it there. But the idea of having a store where we can kind of, you know, have, you know, sort of exactly the atmosphere and the ambiance and everything that we dream of is something that's really cool. So that's the plan.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Anne, for coming for your second time
and
today.
And Sax will be.
To Heritage two. Radio. Thank you for taking the time out. And it was great to meet you and a pleasure to hear everything that you're doing. And we wish you the best of luck. And I'm sure we'll see each other around at some point.
So. Oh, yeah. Definitely. No, thank you, guys. And thanks for those dramatic readings. That made my day.
You
that was well. Hilarious.
So we're going to take another break. And then Jen is going to tell us who we are coming back to interview.
Mary Zairizny. Wait for it.
You're listening to CO by Shadowbox.
To see the land.
And we are back on the Morning After Heritage Radio Network. I am here with a special guest who also happens to be one of my favorite people in New York City and the world to talk about one of my favorite restaurants in the city here. Public Restaurant in Nolita has been open for
9 years.
9 years under the guidance of the illustrious chef Brad Farmery. And it's done some really cool things. You guys have earned the elusive Michelin star for now 4 years in a row, right?
That's right.
Also, this was of particular interest to me, won the James Beard Award for Best Restaurant Design last year, which is super cool.
Woo-hoo. Absolutely.
And other exciting news, our featured guest was also featured in the Zagat 30 Under 30 last year. And so without further ado, I would like to introduce my lovely friend and manager at Public Restaurant, Mary Zyarusny. Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Hi, gorgeous.
So excited. Hi.
So Mary's worked with Public on and off for 3 years now?
Yeah, about 3.5 years in kind of all sorts of roles. I bartended there for a long time. I was a server there as well. And then left to open... our chef de cuisine from Public left to open his own place called Beetle.
Which is where we met.
Which is and the rest is history.
Now, on that note, I wanted to talk about this too, because I feel like Public obviously has its own list of achievements, but one of those is it really has spawned such an impressive list of progeny. I mean, so many people have broken off from that restaurant family to open their own places that are doing very well, one of which I'm currently working for, Highlands Restaurant Group. But you and I met while working at Beetle.
At Beetle.
Under Adam.
Yes, who was the chef de cuisine at Public. He opened his own Southeast Asian West Village restaurant. Of course, Highlands and now Whitehall are brothers and sisters, if you will.
Grandchildren,
there you go.
So let's talk about the granddaddy, Public Restaurant. So you've really seen that place from all angles, which is why I wanted to talk to you. Because, I mean, you started as a bartender. You served as well. And a lot of cool new things are happening for that place right now, which I know you've been privy to. So tell us a little bit about the new news.
Absolutely, yes. Well, with my role at Public, I after coming back from Beetle, I decided that I needed to come back to the mothership, and was the bar manager there, and more recently, I'm now managing not only Public but the Daily. We were talking to Anne Saxelby earlier, and we had the privilege of serving her absolutely delicious cheeses at what was formerly the Monday Room, which was Public's sister and adjacent neighbor. And was open for about 6.5 years as our wine bar without a bar. And sadly, but also very exciting, we closed the Monday Room doors several months ago and reopened as the Daily, which is our new cocktail bar. Also, Chef Brad Farmery's food and Avro co-design and ownership. The Daily is kind of the child of the golden age, the jazz age, pre-prohibition era, modeled after the hotel cocktails of the late 1800s, when things were still fun. It's open 5 to 2 and serves food until 2 a.m., including a really tasty late-night snack if you're there late
enough.
You
shouldn't tell me that.
Mm-hmm.
So what's a particular interest to you right now on that food menu? Tell us a couple things.
Their burgers are pretty incredible. not really traditional. We have our lamb burger with a harissa aioli. We have a venison burger with a tomato chili jam. That's
absolutely
to die for.
I actually just have two people that went there and had the venison burger and were raving about it the next day.
Oh, good.
It was absolutely incredible.
Really so tasty. Yeah. I'm glad they still remembered it.
Yeah. Well, you know, I had to pull it out of them.
Impressive.
I'm embarrassed to say I have yet to go, but I'm incredibly excited.
I have yet to go as well. I keep reading about it.
I've heard about the design. I've heard about the cocktail list. Now, who designed the cocktail list?
Cocktail is designed by master mixologist Naren Young, who is actually the mixologist for our restaurant group now. We are growing and have just opened this past Wednesday, the Thomas in Napa, California.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Yay. So
Manning
excited
West
for
Coast.
The family. That's right. That's right.
We both lost a former coworker and dear friend to go work at that place, but we're very excited for him.
Some of our best men went to the Napa War, but they are conquering, doing great things out there.
I mean, that
that restaurant, I mean, the people at the helm have just been so prolific since it's been open. I feel like every time I talk to someone from the group, thank you, Anne Saxelby.
Yes, leaving the building, leaving the building.
Queen of cheese. I just feel like every time I talk to someone, and I have so many friends that work for your company, and as we mentioned before, I am technically a cousin. Mm-hmm. But every time I talk to someone, there's something new opening up. There's something, some new venture that's going down. And I'm so grateful to have some connection to this place because I just feel like it's been such an important bedrock of the food scene downtown. And I'm so grateful to have you as my little spy.
It's a pretty magical place. It's been around for, like we said, for 9 years, and the company does keep growing and blossoming. And not only is Avroco constantly doing things all around town, all around the country, and really all around the world, but the fact that they not only design but also own Public, Saxon and Parole, Madame Geneva, The Daily, now The Thomas and Napa, those are really their little babies. So it's amazing the attention to detail, not only in the design, but in every little nook and cranny that they do there.
Absolutely. Now, as mentioned before, you were featured in the SAGAT 30 Under 30 special, which is so cool. Now, Pam, I believe, has a coworker and
yes,
friend.
Yes, our CDC from Tertulia, Noop Joshi, was also part of the 30 Under 30, which is very exciting.
Now, what was that process like, Mary? Because I haven't really talked to you about it.
It was a surprising process, and I was very honored to be a part of that. And they chose some really amazing people who are doing really amazing things about town with food and wine and all over every different aspect of the industry. And they threw us a really lovely soiree, and they interviewed us, and they treated us to a night in the town, and I've gotten some requests and some media action from that as well, so it was really great to have my name in there.
Good.
Really fun.
Now, in closing, let me ask you this. If I were a virgin to Public, let no puns be made, if I were to go for the first time, and I want to do 3 courses... Tell me what I get. What
well,
I
first order? Of all, why only 3?
Good answer. Good point, Mary. Thank you.
Take us home, girl.
Let's go with the most Public dishes that we have on the menu. So I'm going to get started with the kangaroo. It's on a coriander falafel with a lemon tahini sauce and a green apple and green pepper relish, which just lifts the entire dish. The kangaroo itself is beautiful, tender, lean, absolutely fantastic, and iron rich and good for you. For your main course, we're going to stick with meat. We're going to go venison.
Great.
On a cabrales blue cheese dumpling, serve with a little fresh spinach, and just a really basic jus. The venison, it speaks for itself. Again, super lean, but very, very juicy. A ton of flavor. Really fantastic. And then we're going to have to finish you off with a ginger, cherry, and peach crisp. Brand new on the menu. Baked fresh to order just for you, Jen.
Thank you. Mary Zairuzny, Public Restaurant. Thank you so much for being with us, milady.
Thank you for having
me.
Thank you so much.
Are we going to break right now?
We're
going to
have a little breaky. Okay. After all that sexy food talk,
yeah, exactly.
I need just a second to collect myself.
Woo!
We're going to be right back.
Loveless Child by Shadowbox.
Welcome back again to The Morning After. We have a very special guest in the studio who's been lovely but very quiet today, but she will not be quiet next week when she guest hosts Amanda Freitag, chef, lady, extraordinary person.
I will say it. I will say celebrity chef. I'm not afraid to say it. CC.
I have been sitting here so quiet. It's hard to be quiet.
You didn't have to be quiet.
I just wanted to be incognito.
She was soaking it in.
We were saving it till the end, baby. Yeah. We were saving the big
best
hit
for
till
last,
the end.
Of course.
I'm so excited to be here next week. I hope everybody who's listening tunes back in. And I'm just so honored to be co-hosting while Jason's away and on a remote island somewhere.
Yeah, somewhere. Which I actually heard there
is
may
he
actually
around?
He may be on the phone right now. I don't know.
Does he have cell reception where he is?
He might have climbed to the top of a tree and found some reception somewhere. So,
Jason, can you hear us?
Yeah. Wait, how was Freitag quiet this entire time?
She was doing hand signals while gesticulating.
Because she did a Twitter, and I was like, oh, she's being really nice. And I was like, maybe she's in studio. And then halfway through, I said, there's no way she's this quiet. But...
Listen, she was actually doing interpretive dance, Jason.
You know what it's like your first time hosting. You're selfish.
I like to say I am not a virgin to the public, and I like to finish off with an espresso.
Oh,
nice. Now, Jason, I know you can't reveal your location, and we want to respect that, but I just want to make sure you're being well fed.
Yes, very well fed.
And getting some sun, hopefully, maybe.
Yes, I'm what are SPF 50? What'd you get? Yeah, SPF. Well, no, it's funny. I had like the SPF, like the spray thing where you have to get your friend to like spray your back.
Spray your back,
really
exactly.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And there's like all these rules where you can't go in the water right away because you have to like dry. And then on the bottle, it says you have like 2 hours in the water, and it just makes everything difficult. But I've been listening to the whole show, and
what do you
I'm
think?
Really excited. You guys are doing a great job.
I think Pam and Jen rocked it today.
Thank you, Amanda.
Thank you, Amanda.
And we are
thank
very
you.
Much looking forward to your show next week. But Jason, I will say we are missing you very much. There is a Jason-shaped hole in my heart.
Yes,
which is a country song I'm writing.
They love me after every. It was that Pam.
Of course, Jason. It was me. Of course, I'm sitting in your seat.
I'm sorry,
and,
double booked Anne, but. You know, I don't think it counts when she's on her husband's show earlier in the day. That's not a double booking. I think that's just like effect.
She's a very sweet lady, and she's enthusiastic about her product. So we
yes,
were.
She is.
It
we
was fun to talk to her.
Her. Yeah.
But so, I feel I'll let you guys go. I feel like Les Moonves watching Julie Chen on the talk right now. I'm like tuning in to see everything's going on.
Well, do you have any tips or tricks for me for next week? I mean, I feel like I need a little, you know, daddy advice.
Oh, Jesus. Gone to this point.
We're going to end on a good note here, Jason.
I think the serious kind of, you know, being out there and sort of that level of doing radio, which is, I kind of compared it to getting an operation because, like, you don't really see where you're going to go until, like, 5 seconds before, and then you're sedated or just on air or whatever it is. But
I'm definitely sedated.
Yeah, so, no, I had a great time, and you guys are doing a great job. Thanks, everyone, for covering. I cannot say where I am, but I am on one of those big satellite phones.
So you're not afraid that, you know, maybe Sirius Radio is going to hear this, and we're going to steal away your show,
and
we're going to make
and
it
they're
an
gonna
all
say,
Amanda,
Pam, and Jen, please, we have a new show
Amanda,
for you.
Pam, and Jen.
Well, listen, I'm all about the bettering of everybody, so hopefully something will come out of out of these next 2 weeks.
I'll tell you what, buddy.
Everyone... who's important as a decision maker is somewhere.
Well, we love you and we miss you and
we
wish
you
a fabulous holiday and we look forward to your return with bated breath.
Come back refreshed and relaxed and ready for the fall.
All right, kids.
See you soon.
Thanks, Jason. You take care. Thank you so much, everybody, for joining us today in The Morning After. Thank you. A special thank you to Mary Zairuzny and Anne Saxelby, our lovely guests, and to the beautiful and talented Amanda Freitag.
Thank you.
We'll be listening next week
respectfully.
To hear.
Listen in.
Now, us few lucky ladies in the studio are going to enjoy a lovely New Zealand red that Miss Zairuzny has brought for us. If you're tuning in today, this has been Pam Stubbs and Jen Tulloch co-hosting
The Morning After.
The Morning After for Mr. Jason Colucci. Thank
From
you very
Roberta's.
Much.
Thank
Heritage
you.
Heritage Radio Network.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.